Not a day, not a minute, not a moment that I don't find you. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. Welcome that you are here. Welcome to our visitors, if there are any. And we have like a little book back there you can sign if you're a guest, or if you haven't been here for a while, you can sign it. And that have the old, haven't seen you in church for a while, better sign the guest book. That was the joke that always went around. So we are glad you're here. Welcome to the live stream. I think that's been going well. We're still working on the Facebook Live. But right now we're live streaming, and those services are recorded, and they're right. As soon as church is over, they are uploaded to the website right away. So that helps because I don't have to do it, and it's done. So, because sometimes I think about it, and then sometimes I forget, too. I have a couple announcements. Parish Ed will meet after church on Wednesday. So if you're a part of the Parish Ed, we'll meet after church after the Advent service. And Crossroads Youth Center is, and myself and Jennifer Van Holven sit on that board, and we are in need of a director for that youth center. We're in process of building a new building, and if you've been through Melfort, you'll see some rock. It's going to be bigger than that. So we're looking at, we've had a little hiccups on the way, which any building project seems to happen that way, so we've got the person needs to put a little bit more rock, make it a little wider, and then that building will start to form, and hopefully by, I would like to say spring of 2023, we should have a building there. So that is exciting. So if you're in need to, if you feel God leading you to be a director of that group, please see Jennifer or myself, and probably Jennifer will probably have a lot more information than I will. So see Jennifer. And I'm going to bring up two people that have announcements, and Diane Van Holen is one of them. She'll go first, and then Quentin will bring you up after that. And then Wayne, if you'll start our service after that.
I have a news of great joy. Remember 3 years ago, I asked the congregation to come and help on the house that was remodeled. The grandma, Brenda Schmink, has obviously surpassed all expectations that the doctor gave her. They gave her 6 months to live, and we just got word that she is free and clear of cancer. They did a experimental drug on her, and it worked well more exceedingly than ever expected. So the kids are overjoyed, and I just wanted to bring that and give thanks to God for that great news.
That is great news. It's always good to start off with something like that. So this is the first Sunday in Advent, so we will light the candles here pretty soon. But before we begin lighting the Advent candle this season, we want to explain the different elements and the meaning behind them and the reason we do this. As a whole, the lighting of the Advent candles represent the contrast of darkness and light, and we remember that Jesus came as the light in the darkness, but that we also are called to be light. The wreath is a circle with no beginning and no end. The circle represents the endless love of God, a love so amazing that he sent his Son into this world as our Messiah. The four candles around the outside circle represent each of the four Sundays of Advent, individually representing 1,000 years, one for each of the 1,000 years God's people waited for the Savior from Adam to Jesus, for a total of 4,000 years. The inside candle, the white one, is the Christ candle we'll light on Christmas Eve. If you ever wondered why Advent candles are often purple, there's meaning to that too. Purple represents prayer, repentance, and sacrifice, the time of waiting before Christ's birth. Each week we focus on a different theme for the season. When the theme is joy, the candle is often pink. And then, of course, the Christ candle is white, representing the pure love of God in Jesus. As we begin today's lighting of the Advent candles, I hope that brings some extra meaning into this time.
Today is the first day of the celebration of the Advent season, as we remember hope. Colossians 1:27 says, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles of the glorious riches of the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Ephesians 1:18 says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may enlighten in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glory, glorious inheritance in his holy people. Today, as we light the candle that represents hope, let's take a moment to think about hope. Think about the things God that brings you hope. Think about hope we have for the future because of Jesus. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold unswervingly to the process, to the hope we profess, for he who promises is faithful.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've brought us together this morning. We pray, Lord, that as we have begun to think about the hope that we have in you, that your Spirit would be among us to light that candle in us, that as we think about hope and we express that hope to others, we pray that this morning's service would be pleasing in your sight. We pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For our call to worship this morning, let's read responsively Psalm 122, found on page 135, and also on the screen. Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Jerusalem that is built as a city that is compact together. For there thrones were set for judgment, the thrones of the house of David.
Great were the east of Jerusalem. May they prosper.
May peace be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Let us sing now hymn number 6, Repent, the kingdom draweth nigh. This morning is from John chapter 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent not the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. We'll read.
The Old Testament lesson is from Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it, and many peoples shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall decide disputes for many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. And the epistle lesson is from Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 11. Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel. The gospel this morning is Matthew 24, 36 to 44. In the name of Jesus. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. For his glad tidings. Let us confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The children are invited to come forward for a message. Okay, good morning, everybody. So, this morning, we started doing something right over there. And what does that tell us? Something is going to happen, right? Advent means it's coming. What's coming?
Any idea? Wow, your parents are really good. What?
Christmas.
Christmas is coming. Yeah. So are you ready for Christmas? You think your moms and dads are ready for Christmas? Yeah? Yeah, maybe they are. Some are already. So how about this morning? Did you anybody tell you, come on, let's go. Get ready for Sunday school and church. Did you hear that? Did anybody tell you that this morning? Yeah? Sure. So sometimes we have to be told to be ready. Get ready. So you all have very nice clothes on. Did you put those on last night so you were ready?
No.
No. Because if you did that, it'd just be hurry up and get ready and then wait. Waiting is not easy, is it?
Yep.
It is easy for you? Okay. I think I might have to do some research on that. So sometimes we have to hurry up and get ready. And then sometimes we have to wait like we are for Christmas. I have a little thing at my house. I should have brought it this morning. It says, we've been good and merry all year, only 28 days till Christmas is here. Do you guys count down? 28, 27, waiting for Christmas like that? Yeah. So that's the fun part. So, but you have to know, why am I getting ready? Now, back in the old days, I don't know if you listened to what I read, it talked about Noah. Anybody know who Noah was? He built something. Kind of like this. What is it? An ark. Why did he build the ark?
To save all his family and all the animals from the flood that Jesus made.
Save people from the flood, right? Exactly. So the ark saved people, but did everybody listen to what Noah said? Everybody?
Not everybody.
No. That was too bad, wasn't it? Because some of them weren't ready. So that's up to us now to be ready when Christmas gets here. And sometimes it seems like a long ways away, and we have to wait. That's what I'm doing. I'm waiting for Christmas. How about you? Get ready. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Christmas. And we thank you that your Son came then. Help us to be patient, but always ready. In Jesus' name, amen. See ya, Christmas. You can go. Okay, the next hymn, whatever that is. Come along, expect Jesus. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that your word would be clearly proclaimed, and that as it is, it would have an effect on our hearts, that we can become ready and follow your instructions. In Jesus' name, amen. So, are you ready? You know, it's whenever I hear those, I have to go back to, are you ready for some football? But that's not what I'm going to talk about much today. But how many times were you asked that question this last week? Maybe you asked yourself that question more than other people ask you about Thanksgiving. Because as many of you cook and prepare so many ways and host this, you have to ask yourself the question, let's see, did I get all the house cleaned? Is the menu set? All the provisions set in? But, you know, when it comes down to it, that day comes and it passes, and if you forgot to dust the top of the door frame, or you failed to put fried sweet potatoes on the menu, or you didn't get the cranberries bought, it really didn't make that much difference, because you got together and you thanked God for what he has given you, and you went on. Maybe it was a little disappointment for no sweet potatoes, but and maybe embarrassment or something like that, but it comes and it goes. Now, Christmas, that's a different story. Because I'll wager that you are asked between now and the 24th, I'll bet you're asked, are you ready for Christmas, dozens of times. It must be most important, right? Because everybody's concerned about your being ready for Christmas. But guess what? Christmas will be on the 25th of December this year again. Just to forewarn you, it's coming, and that's when. And so you can kind of prepare for a day and time that you know is coming. Now, it's coming to our house a week earlier, and by Christmas Day, we're just going to say, oh, another day. Praise God for it. But you'll know when it's coming. But it's not so easy to prepare for a day that you don't know when it will be. So the day when Christ returns is unknown. But yet you have to get ready. And that adds a lot of challenge, because it hasn't happened yet. I can put it off. That's the temptation. And so it was in the gospel today. Who knows that day and time? Well, the angel of heaven don't know. Now, one of the Sunday school classes have been studying about angels. But they don't know that. But angels are, they know more than we do, right? They're more of the inner circle. In Isaiah 6, it says that he saw the Lord on the throne, and the seraphim were above him. They were right there next to him. And in Hebrews 1, it says he makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. So they have a lot of power. We saw the power of wind not that long ago when it blew things down or over, apart. And so they have a lot of power, but they don't know. They're guards. In Matthew 8, it says, see that you do not despise one of the little ones, for I tell you, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. And they are guides. An angel told Philip after the resurrection, go and talk to the road, go to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. They rescued people. They rescued Peter out of jail. I like that. He struck Peter on the side and woke him and said, get up quickly. The chains fell off Peter's hands, and the angel said, dress yourself, put on sandals, and he did so. And he said, wrap your cloak around you and follow me. So the angel has some knowledge and some ability. But yet they do not know the hour of the day. In 1 Peter it says that these are things into which angels long to look. So they know something's happening, but they don't know what it is. So that's kind of where angels stand. But what about the Son of God? We know that he knows all things, right? He's God. One of his attributes is omniscience, knows all. But Jesus himself says he does not know the hour or the time. So as a part of the Trinity, he does know all things. But now he's on earth, or at that time he's on earth. And so in his humiliation, he did not use all of his divine attributes at all times. So we know he used sometimes, but it had a purpose behind it. In Luke 8, they went to him saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." They were out on the boat. And he awoke and he rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was calm. And he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, "Who then is this, that he commands even winds and water, and they obey him?" He was exposing to them a little bit about who he is, but why? So they would know him. And so faith can be built up by that. They surely had greater faith at the end of that incident than they did at the beginning. But in Luke 7, it says, "I too am a man set under authority with soldiers under me." This is the man who asked Jesus to heal. "And I say to one, go, and he goes. Another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard all these things, he marveled at him, and turning to the crowd that followed him, he said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." And when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the servant well. So they saw the result of faith. It has to be a faith-building incident. So Jesus exposed part of his divinity because it had that purpose. And then he summed it all up in his high priestly prayer on John 17. It says, "I glorified you, Father, on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do." So there it sums it up. Jesus said, "Whatever work you gave me to do, I did it that you might be glorified." So in those instances, that's why Jesus exposed himself. But in other times, as God, other times he held that back so that he would be true man. Because it says in Philippians 2:6 that he emptied himself. It doesn't say he was empty, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. So I have to ask you, I ask you, do you believe Jesus can do all things? Yes, he can. And so then he can limit himself also, right? He can restrict his omniscience and his omnipotence and whatever else he decides to do on earth. How this happens? I don't know. If you know, you can come and enlighten me. I don't know. But just because I don't know doesn't mean it's not true. That's called faith. So is it less true because we don't understand? No. Is the last day not coming just because we do not know the day and time? No. Our ignorance of that doesn't make it less certain. But the question we have to ask, would it make a difference if we did know? I'm afraid not. What were they doing in the days of Noah? In Genesis 6, it says, God saw the wickedness of man, it was great, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and he saw the earth. All flesh had corrupted it corrupted their way on the earth. So that's the kind of lifestyle was experienced in the days of Noah. You can decide for yourself if that's kind of the lifestyle we see today in the days of 2022. And so they were warned with a timeline. They shouldn't have been surprised at this. In Genesis 6, again, it says, "The Lord said, My spirit shall not abide in man forever, for he is flesh. His days shall be 120 years. That's a warning. And as close as Genesis 7, he said to Moses, or to Noah, "For in 7 days I will send rain on the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living thing that I have made I will blot out from the face of the earth." In 7 days, they had at least 7 days warning, right? Unless Noah just kept it to himself, which I don't think he did that. Because in my mind, at least, people were right next to him saying, "What are you doing building this ark?" And they were mocking him, and they were questioning and making fun and all that kind of stuff. So he was right there. If he had been told, he was told, 7 days this is going to happen, I'm sure he said, "Because in 7 days it's going to rain." So I feel confident that they were warned. Yet, it says in verse 39 of our gospel, they were eating and drinking and marrying and given in marriage. Now, I'm not going to say that those are all things that we shouldn't do, because probably most of us have been eating and drinking this morning, and many of us have been marrying and giving in marriage. We had a marriage here last month. That wasn't the wrong thing to do. And the bride and the groom, they said, "I do." And then the pastor reminded them that there is also an applied "I don't" from now on too. Because it's all about you two, not you and others. So I thought that was a good reminder. But in the days of Noah, what came? They were forewarned. 120 years they had first, and then right down next to it, a week earlier, the flood came. It swept them all away. But it wasn't what they were doing, it's what they failed to do. They failed to recognize God for who He is. Just and jealous. Jealous meaning that He wants His people. He wants all His people for Himself. And what were they doing? They were ignoring Him, for one thing, but they were also worshiping others. In Exodus 20, it says, "I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." And what does He do? "He visits the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate Me." So anybody who's not following Him are those who hate Him. There's no middle ground here. So we do that, eating, drinking, marrying, and so on. Yes. Are those sins? No. But that doesn't mean we're not sinning. Because in Psalm 55 it says, "We were brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." So like in those in the days of Noah, we are all in that same boat. We're not in the ark. We're in that same boat. We're condemned. But as in the days of Noah, we ought to be swept away, but we don't have to be swept away, because those who were saved went through the door of the ark, and then God closed it. But we also can be saved by entering through the door, Jesus Christ, our Savior, as He describes Himself in John 9, "I am the door. If anyone enters by Me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." But it's been so long, 4,000 years between the first promise in Genesis 3:15 and the coming of the Messiah. They had been waiting. They had been waiting. Prophets came and told them. And some heard. Most did not. They heard, but they did not hear. And then the first Christmas came. And it went. And most people missed it. In John 1, it says, "He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. And He came into His own, and His own people did not receive Him." So that was 4,000 years. And it's been 2,000 years since Christ promised His return. He says in Matthew 24:35, the verse right before our gospel, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but My words will not pass away. Do be ready. Do not be swept away. Stay awake. Be ever watching." We'll never figure out when that day and hour is. In fact, if we think we know the day and hour, it probably won't. Or will it? Because if we think it won't, then it very well may. You might think that's circular reason, right? If you think it will, or if you think it won't, it very well may. But if you say, well, they say it's going to on that day, then it won't, then it might. Here's the thing. We don't know. But we have to be ready. Some things are predictable, like hurricanes, you get a little bit of warning. Tornadoes, you get even less warning. Fire, usually you don't get any warning. All of a sudden, when you discovered it, it's probably too late. In sports, there's sometimes you can kind of figure things out, like when are they going to run, when are they going to pass, when are they going to blitz. But the unexpected is usually what works the best. The Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled to the letter. The New Testament prophecies are just as certain. Christ is returning. His return may be imminent. But have we focused on this world, the cranberries and the gifts and the tree, or are we preparing for our eternal destiny? In verse 44, he says, therefore, you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So how you ask yourself, how do you get ready? Now, there was a time period that everybody was sure Christ was coming very soon because he said he was, and they were sure he would. When was that? First century church, right? Because they were sure that he was going to come before they would die. So what did they do? In Acts 2:42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. The apostles' teaching. Do we have the apostles' teaching? Of course. It's the New Testament. Can we go to him in prayer? Of course. He invites us to do that daily. And he promises to hear his people. Fellowship. We gather together today to support one another. That's how we get ready. And the breaking of bread, we'll have communion probably next week. Next week. Our chairman says yes. So we break bread together. We build one another up. We're built up by his word and his body and blood. That's how we get ready. But is that all they did? Those four things? Devoted their teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and the prayers? No. As I talked about, the angel told Philip to go out to this place and tell. You know, in our lesson today, one taken, one left. One taken, one left. I think it implies to me, at least, I conclude, that they were nearly side by side. They were equals. We know that. They were both in the field, equals. They were both at the grinding mill, equals. So how is it one was taken and the other left? One heeded the call, the other didn't. Like in the days of Noah, some heeded the call, most didn't. But were those who didn't heed, were they told? That's the questions before us. The apostles went out and told. As Christians, are we not supposed to go out and tell so that the one next to you is not is also saved? Right? Isn't that our job? If each one had the one next to them warned and they heeded that call, those two would both be in the same ark going through the same door, Jesus Christ. So that's our responsibility. Remember, heaven and earth will not pass away, but my words, or heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not. And in verse 42, Jesus says, therefore stay awake, for you do not know what day your Lord is coming. And 44, he repeats it. Therefore, you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not respect. It will happen swiftly, suddenly, without any further time for preparation. The time for preparation is now. Are you ready? Amen. Heavenly Father, we do not know all the details of Christ's return, but you've told us that he will return. Help us to be diligent as we wait and watch. Keep us in your word and lead us by your Holy Spirit to passages of assurance of your grace and mercy. Give us an eternal perspective so that we do not get caught up in the insignificant things of this world. We pray in the name of the one who came and is coming, Jesus our Savior. Amen. Continue with the hymn. This is in the insert. The offering will now be received. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks for the bounty that you have provided us, for the faith that you have given us, and the hope that you have provided and instilled in us. We give you thanks, Heavenly Father. And we thank you, Lord, with those eternal things in mind. But we also thank you and come to you, Lord, knowing that you have our physical needs also in your heart. And so we come to you knowing that you hear our prayer. We pray, Lord, this morning for our shut-ins, for Juanita and Joanne, and for those in need of healing, Gordon and Marcia and Rick and Logan and Linda, for Tim and Randy and Norm. We pray for Wendell and Danielle, for Dennis and Robert, Pastor Meyer, for Diane and Randy, for Gunner and Casey, and Michael and Ty and Blake and Delbert. We thank you for the work that you have done in each one of these. And we pray, Lord, that your healing hand would be upon them, that your power and your concern and your love may be made known. Give them your peace. We pray for those on the cradle roll, for Willa and Lane and Kennedy and Elena and Madeline and Joanna. Lord, you have begun a good work in them. Keep their faith, build it up, make it strong. We pray for those who are in their, in whose arms they are kept now in this world. May they train them up that you may be known. We pray for wisdom for our church council, for Tracy and Robert and Craig and Corey and Stephen. Work with them. We thank you for them, Lord, that they are working together for your good. We also pray for the call committee. Give them your insight and your wisdom. Bless them with your patience and your peace. We pray for Warren as chairman and Nita and Amy and Cole, Carol and Stuart who serve on that. We pray for our nation and our government. We pray for all world leaders and those in authority. Lord, you put them all in those places for your divine purpose. We pray that they would all come to know you and seek you, that your peace would reign. And we pray for those in the U.S. military and their families for guidance and guard them, keep them safe. We pray for all those things in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Benediction today is Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Jesus shall reign.
Go in peace and serve the Lord.